Blog Talk Radio.
Citizens Against Terrorism does not support or oppose any political candidate or party. The commentators, guests, hosts, and callers' comments are their personal views and not necessarily the views of Citizens Against Terrorism. Welcome to American Patriots Have Responded. I am your host, Bill Moss. It is a interesting day. It seems that the president just tweeted a little while ago that he was not going to continue to negotiate with the left side of the aisle. He said that their intentions were not to help the American people and that he was not going to continue to negotiate. Yeah, at that point, he also tweeted out that after the elections that he would be in better shape and he could go ahead and get this done the right way. It seems to be a $1 trillion difference of opinion on how the money should be spent that'll be have to be paid back by us taxpayers. The Republicans have offered $1.6 million, which would include some help to the cities that have mismanaged. The states that have mismanaged, just like our own state here in Kentucky. It seems the Democrats want another $1 trillion on that subject. Personally, this is my personal opinion. This is my commentation. I live in Kentucky. We have a governor that has let our state down. He's kept our people closed up when we should be open and working. He has done everything under his power to cripple the economy in our state. And for that reason, I do not believe people in other states should have to pay to get us back on our feet. That will not ring very well with some of my neighbors, I'm sure. But at this point, we have to look at, we voted him in. New York, Wisconsin, hello, everybody. I'm back. I hope that you stayed with us. If that happens again, just hang in there. We're having trouble with the station or the internet or the phones or something. But I was saying I don't think it's any other state's fault or responsibility to bail out states like ours where our governors have mismanaged and where they have thrown away opportunity, cost people their jobs, cost people their livelihoods, cost people their businesses, and allowed these monsters to run loose in our streets and destroy our towns. So, no, I don't cotton with the fact that we should burden the taxpayers with Kentucky and places like New York and California and these other cities. I just think that we should have to pull ourselves back up. And we should vote more wisely in the future, regardless of what kind of politician you got in. If they're mishandling either side of the aisle, then we need to get rid of them. As far as the president, he said that he wasn't going to keep negotiating, that he didn't feel that the Democrats had the interest of the people in mind. That they were just trying to bail out these states like ours. And for that reason, he said he was not going to negotiate, that after the election, hopefully there would be, he implied hopefully there would be a Republican House and Senate and him in the presidency, and at that point he could take swift action to get the need met for the American people. We're in for a rough ride, folks. As we've been talking on this show, there are so many forces against us, and this is just another force that's trying to starve the people out. And, you know, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. And so anyway, he's done this. I did, Deb, did, are you there?
Yes, Deborah. Bill. Yes, am I here, Bill? Can you hear me?
Didn't you say somebody talked to him about going ahead and trying to negotiate?
Yeah, he's got a really weird tweet that indicates this is really important to the American people. And so maybe, you know, the president is he's an excellent negotiator, Bill. You know, you and I both know that. Maybe this is not a bluff or a trick, but it's a hard stand. I think that Americans need this stimulus and enhanced unemployment, and businesses need it like crazy. But the Democrats have to get, and this isn't political, but right now the Democrats need to move, because I think that, and everybody, both sides, just make this work, whatever it takes. And but without, like you said, Bill, without giving away the farm and covering bad debts and bad management for the last 30, 40 years. This has got to make sense. And it's got to come to us. It's got to come to the American people. No, nobody outside of the country, nobody that isn't a citizen. No, that's where I draw the line. We've got to have Americans get the help. Do you agree with that? I mean, my God.
I agree with that. I mean, if we had the $50 million they gave to the Kennedy Center for the Arts, if we had, you know, the money they gave to public broadcasting TV, if we had the money that they squandered that the people really needed, if they would have put that in that first stimulus packet, we might not be in need of a second one. Because when you waste trillions of dollars, there's only 300-something million people in the country. Trillions of dollars would make a lot fatter check that would have weighed people through this a lot better. And I mean, if you can imagine $1 trillion, I mean, it takes like three or four big C-130 transport, military transport planes to move that much cash. They talked about that when, you know, what was it, $1.5 trillion that the Obama administration gave to Iran, dropped it on a tarmac in Iran, and they took several C-130 jets just to fly all that cash over there. I mean, you're talking about something that fill up a football stadium. You know, I mean, it's ridiculous. And if we would put that money into the people instead of these pet projects that these politicians want on both sides of the aisle. There's ones on both sides of the aisle that wants this kind of crap. You know, it's called pork. It's called pork. Well, pork's got a lot of fat on it, and you've got to trim that fat back. You know, pork makes it taste sweeter, makes the meat taste sweeter, the fat does. And that's why, you know, why people like pork, because it's got a sweeter taste to it because of the fat. And that's where they get that from. Let's sweeten the deal here. Let's get a little something for our pet projects here while we're at it. And the pet project is supposed to be the American people. These are not leaders. They're representatives, and they're doing a poor job on both sides of the aisle of taking care of us and representing our needs. And I, for one, am really tired of it.
Bill, you said something. Now, hear me out. If the Democrat Congress is coming with Nancy Pelosi and her bag of goodies, that she's got all these requests and needs and all that, they already know. And this is, if the Republicans are doing this is nonsense. If they're not willing to come up then, if they've been trying, whoever's not trying, and that's the problem. And so why would they present this ridiculous, absolutely asinine thing that they know that no one's going to go for? It's almost like, okay, Bill, I want to buy your house. I'm going to bring a little Felix the Cat full of tote bags of $3 in it. Will you sell it to me? This is ridiculous. You can't negotiate with this outrageous idea that you, why bring that to the table? And that's where I hear other people, Kayleen McEnany and everybody, saying she's not serious. Nancy Pelosi is not serious. And for all those people that love her, hate her, or don't like her, or like her, I say this isn't even about what she's doing or what she's about. This is about she is not really serious, or she wouldn't even go to D.C. with this. I mean, you've got to agree with me. She wouldn't even walk into the room.
Well, you know, when somebody has a refrigerator that costs more than my home, $15 gallon ice cream, they drink, you know, God telling how much a bottle of wine. They're eating filet mignon while the people down here is begging for chicken, you know,
right,
and eating lettuce. And, you know, the idea that, you know, well, I got to go get my hair done, so I'm going to have them illegally open up a shop for me to get my hair done. We've seen this not only with Nancy Pelosi. We've seen it with, I call her Mayor Beetlejuice, Lori Lightfoot. You know, and we've seen, I think it was Gretchen Wilson that had a bar opened up so she could have a drink. And yet we can't stop and eat at McDonald's, or we can't go in and get our hair cut without an appointment and a mask and all this. And in California, you got to get it done on the sidewalk. You know, this is all kind of ridiculous stuff. They're playing games with people's lives. They're playing games with our families' livelihoods, and it's time it stops. And, you know, if it takes the president taking a hard stand, then so be it. Because, you know, if he keeps dealing with them, and if they remain in power and they keep this game up, it's going to be another 4 years of impeachment. It's going to be another 4 years of struggling along, keeping the economy shut down and trying to keep us all under lock and key. And put us on to the government welfare line so they can control every aspect of our life. This is what it's about. That's what we've been talking about in this series. With that said, we probably need to get to it, too.
I don't even 15 know
minutes
what
into
is,
the show.
Bill. Yeah, I don't know what get to it is. I'm gonna drag along the investigation I'm working with you on. It's not even around. I don't even know what you're doing today. So I'm on it. I'm on it.
Yeah, you kind of got drug in at the last minute. Philip was going to co-host today, and he got sick and called me about, 10 minutes before the show. And, Philip, if you listen, I hope you get feeling better, buddy.
I'll be thinking
of
Bravo.
You because we'll miss you. But he'll be back as soon as he's able to. And, you know, he was a real good host last night. I enjoyed the show with him more, like I do with you. You know, you always make a good host. Today I want to talk about the Minnesota Freedom Fund. This is not a fund that was on that map. This was something that came through the course of our investigation. It's another one of these activist organizations that's tied to, guess who? Billionaire George Soros. Okay, we've seen... he's got his hands in everything, it seems like, in this. You know, I think there's a lot more people, big money people, maybe even bigger money people than him behind this, but he seems to be the man out front running everything. And so maybe he's a well-paid manager as well as a financier of this. And the Minnesota Freedom Fund, like I say, is just another one of these organizations. Like I say, not one of the original ones of the Democrat Alliance resistance efforts on that map that we had. But as we dig, Deb, you know, the more we dig, the more these organizations we find the more these schools we find tied up in, the more these billionaires we find tied up in. I think we revealed four more billionaires yesterday, a company, two companies, and a foundation yesterday that's all tied up in this. But, you know, through the investigations, you know, we turned over a rock or two, you know, it was a rock or two we turned over, and we found them there on the Soros team, okay? They was hiding under that rock, and we're going to keep, you know, going to tie it all together for you tonight as best as we can. Are you ready, Deb?
You know what? Let's do this thing.
Okay, the first thing I want to talk about is an article that was put out on June 9th of this year by Breitbart News. The beginning of it says, as major cities began picking up the pieces after days of destruction, the rioters and looters can rest easy knowing that they have a get-out-of-jail-free card waiting for them. Bailout charities are suddenly flush with cash, especially the Minnesota Freedom Fund, which has received an unprecedented level of donations from Hollywood stars, including Justin Timberlake, Steve Carell, and Seth Rogen. The revolution is going to be celebrified, it says, thanks to the aggressive Hollywood crowdsourcing. The objective of the Minnesota Freedom Fund is to raise donations that it uses for bail for suspected criminals to get them out of jail for immigration and customs enforcement violations, for criminal violations, for rioting, for looting, and all that stuff is what they're doing it for. They used to pull in about $110,000 in donations a year, and this was according to their public tax records. But since George Floyd died, the week after George Floyd died, it raked in more than $20 million in less than a week. Can you imagine that? $20 million from an organization was getting $110,000 a year. It's amazing.
Boy, it sounds like that's a low number. It's probably much, much more.
Well, this windfall raised questions about the organization, and this organization is led by an acolyte of George Soros. She's a convicted drug offender, and it's actually spending its monies, funds being used to bail out violent Antifa members. And then the question is raised in the article, will some of the coffers of the Democrat politicians benefit from this as well? Now, this person, this woman who they talked about that was the convicted drug dealer, that's the Soros acolyte that is actually running the organization, she appears to be the same woman. If you remember, Deb, the U-Haul truck they had at Louisville, and they come in, and it was full of shields and weapons and protest signs. Remember that?
Oh,
and
yeah,
they said there
was
a lady tied to a bail fund. They said it was a lady tied to a bail fund that had actually rented the truck. It was on the records of the U-Haul rental that she had actually rented the truck. Now, this appears to be the same lady that brought all these weapons and shields and things in for these protesters to use in Louisville. And let me tell you, it's a violent town. It still is a violent town. It's pitiful. The people of Louisville, a lot of them are standing in their homes in fear. A lot of them across the river are very anxious about having to even go to work or pass through Louisville to go to work. Many are driving around through other towns, across other bridges, you know, the outlying areas, just to avoid going into Louisville, driving a lot of miles out of the way, some of them. I know one personally that's doing that. Or was doing that. Now he's working in Louisville, and I don't know how he's doing that, but I pray he's okay. This group, the Minnesota Freedom Front, has had aggressive demands to defund the police, and they're getting a lot of attention for it, and it is encouraging donations to group called Reclaim the Block. Now, Reclaim the Block is a grassroots organization. This is another one we found today. It was founded in 2018, and it's based in Minneapolis, Minnesota. The group protests and starts petitions to pressure local the local council to divest money from the Minneapolis Police Department to be spent on subsidized housing, addiction resources, youth homelessness causes, and crime prevention programs. Well, you know, that's great. I don't mind, you know, having money going into these things. But how about instead of taking the resources away from the police officers that keep them safe and taking the officers off the street that keep us safe, how about us taking that money and letting the police have their money, and let's take the money away from some of these politicians that's making, you know, way more than they deserve. How about let's do that? How about let's cut that fork that we was talking about a little earlier? We got a caller on the line, Deborah. I'm going to bring them in.
Great.
Good evening. How are you? This is Mike from New York.
How are you, sir?
Doing fine. This is Mike from New York.
Oh, hi, Mike.
Just calling in, trying to track what you guys are doing, what the main topic is among everything that's going on in the world today. And I see you were covering all the different organizations that are out there that have been popping up. And, you know, the other day I was thinking about it, like the group that went after Lindsey Graham. We've never seen, that's an environmental group. We've never seen them involved in going to a politician's house at 5 a.m, beating pans and drums. And these are usually tree huggers worried about, you know, turtles and owls. What are you doing? What did all of a sudden? And then I realized, I said, okay, I looked at their background. And like you're saying, the funding is all coming from these foundations and these democratic groups. And what they did was they probably looked in their bag of tricks and said, okay, look, we've been getting a lot of bad press with BLM and Antifa lately. Let's activate some new players and get them in the field, someone the public hasn't seen. Yeah, that's what we're going to do.
Well, you know, Mike, we started out with 50 organizations when we started this investigation. And by nightfall, we had 100. And now we're up in the hundreds of organizations that are involved in this. And we're, like last night, we had, I think it was 5 new billionaires we exposed that's putting money into this. A company, a foundation, and I think it was one of these organizations we exposed last night. Every night we're tying more and more together. The common thread so far seems to be George Soros. But we know there's even bigger money involved. We just haven't got that tied together all the way yet to show the link, because we're trying to do it lineal and lead from one group to the next. You know what I'm saying? And so
if we could do it, and a lot of us are doing it, like what you're doing, the work, I have no doubt that it's already done this work and already done the flow charts and showing who's who, and they know exactly who's behind everything. I don't understand why the government is dragging their feet, and they just don't go out there and deal with it. Create legislation, shut this down, stop it. You take the money away, the more they pay, the less they'll pay. Take their money away from them, you know? And I think it'll
why not freeze their accounts? Freeze their accounts.
Cost them.
It can be done because they're financing these organizations that's backing Antifa. So, I mean, you know, they're backing these criminal organizations, these terrorist organizations. Anytime you've got money tied up with terrorists, you can freeze those accounts. You know, the thing that impressed me, we talked about it on the show back of this, was at the RNC, when they got cornered outside, Rand Paul and his wife, and I think that one lady senator from Tennessee, you know, Dan Bongino and his wife was out there. When they got cornered, Rand Paul got scared. You know, the next day he was hollering, I want to know where the money's at coming behind this. Well, he should have been asking that when the first person got assaulted, the first person got killed, the first store got burnt, the first assault of any kind that happened. He should have been looking at that. And, you know, we've been looking at it since the beginning, and I have, and trying to dig into it before we even got the organization going. And, you know, I've had people, well, if you know where the money's coming from, why ain't you putting it out there? I'm like, well, I've got to get the hard copy first. You know,
I'm getting things
off the dark web and stuff that's leading me to it, you know. And we finally found the one key article that's opened it up for us, and we've been running with it. I think today's the 7th episode of this. You know, it's like this Reclaim the Block. It took $1 million from the police department there in Minneapolis for all these programs, like I was naming. And now they was upset because they didn't get $9 million away from them. Their whole thing is to defund the police, get the police out of there. Well, if you defund the police, you let the criminals out, what do you have? You have a mess.
Oh, they want to shut down the jails, too. They've said they're open.
Right.
They want to shut down the jails.
And, you know, the whole intent is to disband the Minneapolis Police Department. It's the intent of these organizations around the country is to get rid of the police. But you cannot get rid of the police and have criminals running the street. You can't do that.
No.
And that's what we're up
against. They couldn't even run that mentality, the Antifa, BLM, whatever utopian BS that they've got. They couldn't even run CHOP. Their own autonomous zone. They couldn't even run that. So who are they going to kid? And they think they have a chance that we're going to fundamentally change the country. The revolution is on. What revolution? In your mind. You can't even run, like, how many blocks, square blocks was that CHOP area? You couldn't even run that and maintain it. You're going to take over and you're going to run a city, or you're going to better mankind or change our country? Why don't you change your
revolution?
Grow up.
Did you ever see the TV series Utopia? It wasn't on very long.
I started watching in the beginning of it about the cartoon, something about a virus.
No, this was actually this was like a commune they set up. It was supposed to be a utopia, and everybody was just going to get along, and everybody was going to do. And what they found during the two series, and I think they only done two series of it, because both of them, they fell apart. You know, you had those that would work, you had those that didn't, you had those that go bricked, and those that, you know, got fed up, and it turned into chaos every time, both times. And, you know, it was supposed to be a thing, I think, to try to convince everybody that communism was a great thing, because that's how it was set up, as a commune. And it fell flat of its face. And that's what they're pushing for here. You know, they're saying, if we don't have jails, everybody will be nice. You know, if we don't have guns, everybody, you know, won't shoot nobody. It don't work that way in real life.
No, it really doesn't. They don't get that.
Especially when you got groups like this. Now, this Freedom Fund, this Minneapolis Freedom Fund, they've been suspected of harboring Antifa people. Now, these are terrorists. These are designated terrorists in our country. And they sympathize with them, and they have a close collaboration with the National Lawyers Guild. Are you familiar with them?
No, I don't know them.
Okay, they've got their own bar. They're not part of the American Bar Association. The NLG is its own bar, and they work basically on the criminal side, okay? They basically work on the criminal side to try to get them out and try to, you know, do away with the jails and all this stuff like they're doing. They have been called the unofficial legal arm of Antifa. And the president's decision to classify Antifa as a domestic terrorist, that's all going to make it a little uncomfortable for both of those organizations. You know, if they're aiding and abetting, especially, you know, if they're harboring, you know, that's some serious stuff. But, you know, ever since this protest with the Black Lives people has swept across Minnesota Freedom Fund has been increasing its political rhetoric. It's demanding that the governor, Tim Walz, president Democrat, please. And it's also its support from Democrat politicians. Now, here's the interesting part. It's attracted it from Joe Biden staffers. And I'm going to get into that in a little bit. But
not
when it was asked to respond on all this, they refused. amazingly. You know, we see that all the time. You know, when these news agencies get a hold of people and they want to, you know, talk to them about something, to ask them a question, then they refuse to comment. Usually that's a sign, you know, that's like pleading the Fifth Amendment. I'm not going to say anything because I might incriminate myself. Kamala Harris has encouraged people to donate money. You know, 13 of Joe's staffers has put money in at least to this organization to bail these criminals out. And, you know, and Joe Biden himself come out and said that it was just, you know, like a debtor's prison when you put people in jail and they couldn't afford their bail. You know, I always figured if you've done the crime, you do the time. And, you know, if you can't afford the bail, you better stay out of trouble. That's a good thing for me to, you know. But President Trump said in a tweet that the Minnesota Freedom Fund was working to get anarchists out of jail and probably more. Fund doesn't publicly support Antifa, but it coordinates its bail work with this National Lawyers Guild, which does support Antifa. So that goes back to what we say in the country, if you lay with dogs, you get fleas. The Lawyers Guild defended the Antifa against Trump's decision to make it a domestic terrorist organization. They said that Trump's declaration that Antifa is a domestic terrorist organization has no basis in fact or law and is merely an attempt to criminalize ordinary people who are exercising their right to protest. This was a statement put out by the National Lawyers Guild. You live in New York. You've seen the protest. You know what? You know what the damage is done. That's not a protest. That's not a protest. Do you agree?
No, it's not a protest, but there's a lot more going on to it that the public doesn't see. I've been watching this, the streams, for months, since the very beginning of Milwaukee. I've been watching it nonstop. Every night I tune in and I watch the streamers, and I mean, you get to know the streamers if you're really on it, and you look on Twitch and you look at a lot of these guys, you get to know everybody from CJ and Baloo and all of them, and you watch them and I get to see and you listen to them and you get to know the mentality, and you get more than what you're going to get off the media because you're watching them discuss things. You're watching them talk. You're seeing what they say. Like in the very beginning in CHOP, there was one of the streamers, one of the girls walked over and sat down with a group of about 10 of them. And they were sitting in the middle of the field there at CHOP at the autonomous zone. And they started discussing the politics, and you got a taste of what they were. They forgot that they're being streamed, and there are hundreds of people watching them all over the country at this hour. And they said, you know, these people have to understand, the Americans that are out there, these so-called Americans, the public, has to understand that we have no choice at this point but to destroy everything that's been built. We have to rip it all down. We have to erase it and rebuild it. This country was built on a lie, and it's up to us now to fix it and rebuild it. Only we're going to be involved, and we're going to do it the right way. What? What? Say that again? This is, and they're all going, yes, absolutely. We have to destroy it and rebuild. So now they have their own agenda and everything, and they're being played and manipulated. They don't even understand they're being played and manipulated. So you have everybody out there waving their own flag going, well, I'm all about Indian rights. Well, I'm all about black rights. Well, I'm all about gay, lesbian rights. Well, and everybody's got their own. Let's bring you in, all of you under an umbrella, and we're all going to scream and chant and support each other. And yeah, and in the end, you're going to end up like Ernst Rohn.
Right.
When they're done with you, they're going to chew you up and spit you out when they're done, when the system is done with you. And you don't even realize it. And what's going on in Portland, there's a struggle right now that people don't even recognize. And I see it every night, and it's between BLM and Antifa. And Antifa they covered themselves really well. So that way the politicians and Nadler and all the rest of them, all right, they could say, oh, Antifa doesn't exist. Well, no, they don't have a headquarters and a newsletter per se, really. So it is a way of thinking, but they covered themselves by using different names. Now,
right.
There are two names they covered. One name that they ditched the name on Facebook, it was the Pacific Northwest Youth Liberation Front. They had three Facebook pages up. Now they're down to one. They got rid of two of them because it was pretty blatant. And it was all Antifa logos and everything, and communist BS. And yeah, and they were, there was some, yes, solidarity, BLM. But it was Antifa. We want to get rid of the police. We want to get rid of the jails, communism, socialism, blah, 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 blah. It was all them. Well, they get rid of that. Now, another one that's covered is the Direct Action Alliance. Now, these guys are the ones promoting a lot of the marches at night, the protests. And you'll see where on the BLM pages, on the Facebook page, they'll say, tonight is a Direct Action Alliance march. It doesn't say BLM march. It says, ooh, that's interesting. Now, about a month and a half ago, when the mayor of Portland came out and he told everybody, he said, okay, look, we cut a deal. Do you remember this? When they said that the city, the state are taking over, the state police, and they're going to guarantee safety for that federal courthouse down at the Justice Center in Portland. Remember? And the feds are going to step back. What, from what I've seen, the feeling that I've got from tracking this is, this is benefits the feds, the state, and the local authorities because they're sick of the bad press, all of them, and they're tired of it. And they went to BLM, and they said, listen, you've lost the narrative. You're not in charge of it anymore. You've got American Indians dancing and doing a rain dance in front of it. Antifa's throwing paint, and every single night attacking the federal courthouse. You don't control things anymore. We're going to tell you what. You take back control of it. We're going to make a hefty donation to you, and we're going to leave you alone. If you could maintain control of it and keep them off that courthouse and everything else and control that park and stop what's going on downtown. No more busting, vandalizing, starting fires at the courthouse and everything. Okay, that night, it was a Thursday night, BLM put all of their people lining that fence that was around the back of the courthouse, if you can picture the area that I mean. And they had two different people with bullhorns giving speeches, doing chants, doing sing-alongs, boring the shit out of everybody. They were doing it on purpose to bore people. And then anytime, like, two people tried to create a fire, they threw stuff on fire over the fence. The BLM people jumped over the fence into the police area, into the area that was cordoned off, put the fires out with bottled water, and then jumped back over. They stopped people from throwing stuff over. No more. They said, this is it. It was done. What? What is going on here? They stopped it. After 2 days of this, maybe three, it died down so much, and they saw this is no fun for us. The Antifa people, we're here to destroy and break glass, and this isn't fun anymore. What's this? We're not getting tear gassed, and we can't go against BLM. That wouldn't be right because it's sort of their show. And so they started drifting. The Direct Alliance had their marches out to the ICE facility, out to the Portland, the association building for the police, out to the police and the sheriff's facility to get it away from that courthouse. And when they did try to come back, BLM would have sing-alongs and take them on marches. Let's go visit so-and-so's apartment. Get them away from that courthouse. They're controlling them. They want to tone down the violence in downtown Portland because they're making money off this. It's very interesting to see the struggle between the two groups.
Have you noticed when you're watching them streams, I want to ask you something. Have you noticed when you're watching their streams, if they lock somebody up, there's always somebody around there hollering, what's your name? We'll get you out. Have you noticed that? I've seen it a lot.
Yeah, they happen. It does happen. What's your name? Say your name. And then also, they'll in the very beginning, they used to do it. They were writing down phone numbers, and they would write them on their arms. So they had the phone number that they called for bail. But then what started coming out was they had two guys that I saw on the side who said, man, those bail numbers are useless. I couldn't get through to anybody. That was a joke. I went, oh, that's interesting.
Well, the reason, so the reason I'm telling you that.
Something.
The reason I asked you that is this Greg Lewin, that's board president for the Minnesota Freedom Fund, he sent out a notice saying that the National Lawyers Guild knows to contact the MFF regarding bail, okay? And, it's just a thing that they know they've got these people that's going to bail them out when they're doing these things. And the whole problem with it is, you know, they spent so much time, you know, setting this up to get these people out when they do all this. And, I mean, it's plumb sick. New York City and Antifa, up there where you are, New York City.
I'm North Antifa.
Has also advised its members to familiarize themselves with the numbers for the National Lawyers Guild.
One thing that screwed them up, though, is they know that now that they can be charged under federal law with federal charges, they're not dealing with a local DA that's under political control. They're scared to death because they know that if they get federal charges put at them, now they're taken out of public. That scares that shit out of them because, see, they respect the federal laws because they fear them. That's the only reason they respect them, because they fear them. Like an animal.
It's not going to
respect you until it fears you.
There was a lot of posts on the internet when they started getting charged with the felonies because of being Antifa. They were posting on there. They promised they'd get us out. We wouldn't do no jail time. Now we're facing 10 years. You remember that?
Yep.
A lot of them melting down over that. You know, and it was like, well, you know, if you believe a crook, then shame on you. You know, you're dealing with shady people to start with. And you're getting your butt in a bind here. I start to say the other thing, but you're getting it in a bind. And when you do that, you've got nobody to blame but yourself. You know, my folks used to tell me when I was growing up, you get yourself locked up. If I ain't with you, you sit there. Don't call me, you know. And they thought they had this, you know, the Soros guy on their side. They thought they had all these organizations and these lawyers on their side. But when you get slapped with a terrorist charge, it changes the whole fabric of everything. The whole landscape changes, you know, and now you're sitting in jail, you're looking, and, you know, you don't get bail. You don't get bail for terrorists.
What good were those numbers? And I even saw somebody post in on one of it in the chat room, because they've got a lot of true believers that are in there as moderators, and said, what good are all your friends and all your fellow your comrades, and he put it in quote, when you get busted and everything, where are they to help you out now when you're looking at federal charges, huh? Real life. How is it? How does it feel? They don't like that. You know, all of a sudden the dreams and the Nintendo game, it goes away. And like, what happened? I didn't sign up for this. I thought it was going to be fun and stuff. It's not fun. No.
I'm going to bring something else up. The director of the Minnesota Freedom Fund, the executive director, her name's Tanya Hansi. She was named a Soros Justice Fellow by the Open Society Foundations in 2019. That's one of Soros' foundations. She had been convicted of a drug offense. She was arrested during a meth lab bust in 2002. And since then, she served time for theft and check forgery. And since she's got out of jail, she's worked as a criminal justice reformer and has served on Minnesota's Sentencing Guidelines Commission. Why in the world do you take a felon and put them on a commission that sets the guidelines for sentencing? To me, it's asinine. You know,
No, it's not. It's normal. They protect themselves and they cover themselves and they protect their own and they get within the system and they find a comfortable, what do they call those, golden parachutes or whatever, to make sure that they're covered for life. Since they control the system,
that's my point.
It's part of it. Yeah,
that's my point. They should be outlawed from being in that system. You know,
absolutely.
You can get a job, I mean, a lot of jobs that has nothing to do with handling money or handling anything if you've been a felon. And, you know,
The grill at McDonald's is good. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of places they fit in.
Freedom Fund, another interesting thing about them is they don't disclose the names of the people they bail out. But it tweeted that it spent $69,836 freeing 266 individuals from county jail last year. It spends about $5,000 a month on ICE bonds. You know, people coming into the country illegally. They expect those numbers to grow as these riots are growing. And then you've got the celebrity stars, you know, like Janelle Monáe, Patton Oswalt, Don Shalit. They've all pledged to chip in. You got Christy Teigen and her husband, pop star John Legend. They promised $100,000 and ended up putting in $200,000. You've got these elite people that for some reason you'd think they're living in their mansions and stuff, they'd want them protected and stuff, but they're putting all this money out to get these criminals out of jails. And you know, they've been getting some pretty bad people out, Some of the people they've got out have been people that's one lady murdered her neighbor, okay, a friend. She murdered her friend. And another one had two sexual assault convictions. You know, they've had people, you know, that's committed these serious crimes, and they're bailing them out. And we heard a couple nights ago, we talked about it. They had actually, I believe it was in New York. It was in New York or Portland. I get confused on it sometimes if I don't have it in front of me. But they had got somebody out of jail for rioting and looting, and they still had two murder warrants not served on them. That makes no sense to me. How do you let somebody out of jail that's got murder warrants on them without serving them?
No idea.
And
they'd have no answer.
We're from,
they won't comment.
Where we're from, there's a warrant check on you before they even get you to jail. Now, a lot of times they'll put you in and let you make bond on this, and then they'll serve another warrant on you, and you got to make bond on that. And then if you got a third bond, they'll hit you again as you're getting ready to go out the door with the third one. And the whole idea is they break you and keep you in there until they can get you in trial, you know. And, you know, if somebody is a repeat offender like that, especially somebody's been murdered two people, I got no problem with using the system to keep them in there. And, you know, you get somebody in there on a looting charge, they might have, you know, a $5,000 bail. Well, then you get them on a murder charge, they might have a $50,000 bail. And then the third time, it might be $250,000 or more. You know what I'm saying? And,
yeah, I don't know about using the system to keep them in. I think I'd be more willing to use a tree shredder to keep them off the streets. I'm getting to that point. There's a lot of anger out here. People have had it. We're fed up with it. You know,
yeah,
we're really, people are really fed up with it. And it's getting to the point that, well, that's not very nice of you to. No, it's getting to that point. Why? That's very nice of them. They're destroying other people's lives, people that are trying to live, have their lives, and be normal. And we've got to listen to this. And we got to deal with this and worry about going out to a restaurant and being assaulted or being attacked. I've had enough. Enough. People have had enough. And even now, it's even getting a lot of the Democrats starting to wonder, wait a minute, what happened? I went to an auction 3 weeks ago, a month ago, and it was across the Hudson River from me. It was over in Rockland County. And beautiful home. The home just sold for $700,000. The guy was an executive in New York City. He retired young, man. I mean, I thought he'd go longer than that. He's 59 years old and pretty young for the position he was in, and good money. And we started talking. He was dumping everything. Just had an auction online and dumped everything. And he said, I've lived and worked all my life in New York. And he said, down in New York City. And he said, I'm a Democrat. He said, I'll admit it. And he said, but I don't know who these people are anymore. These are not... This isn't, and I said, it's not the America you grew up in. And he looked at me and with a straight face, and there were other people around us, because I love having open conversations, see what people are thinking. And he said, no, he said, these aren't Democrats anymore. I don't know what they are. He said, but I'm not staying. I can't. It's not. And he started stuttering. He didn't know what to say. And he said, I'm leaving. I sold it. He said, I bought a nice place down in Florida. I'm done. I said, what about a gun license? And he looked at me and he paused. And then I sensed it. I said, this guy's going through a change where his reality, real life came to his dinner table. He doesn't want to admit it. And he doesn't understand it. He's changing. And he said, I signed up for in the development that we're in. There's a gun club down there. And I figured it's time I start learning. And yeah, wow. Look at the metamorphosis. Look at the change that's happening. The real world finally came knocking on his door. And he said, what they've done to New York City, it's not safe anymore. I have to commute every day. And he said, I'm done. And he said, it's okay. I had a good life up here. And I said, I'm looking forward to years in the future. But there are more people that are like this. He's not the only one. New York is, and this is another, in California, I was just talking to a friend of mine who works for a major sheriff's department tonight in California. He works for them. And he was telling me about how many people are leaving the state. And he said, in California. He said, you know, they hear it, they say it on the internet and everything else. He said, you have no idea. He was telling me. He said, how real it is. It's the truth. He said, good people, not just retiring. People are fed up and leaving. He said, and what we're going to be left with is, I said, what, Richard Simmons running a sheriff's department? And he started laughing. He said, that's what they want to do. They want to disarm the police. Yeah. They want everybody to be nice and considerate. And I said, what? What are you going to have in the meantime? Excuse me, could I have your license and registration? But if you don't want to give it to me, it's okay. I totally respect your space. What?
Well, you know, the whole thing
is, like living in a Monty Python. It's bizarre.
They want to be everybody to be nice and considerate, but they want to set the rules on what's nice and considerate. They want to
and
set the rules what you're allowed to do, what you're allowed to say. You know, that's the whole thing. It's political correctness. I want to get into that. It's political correctness. I get so sick of somebody. Well, you shouldn't say that. You'll hurt somebody's feelings. Well, you know what? I can give a rat's hind end about if I hurt somebody's feelings, because my First Amendment right, my Second Amendment right, all of my rights do not end where their feelings pick up.
Yep.
Do you see what I'm saying?
No.
Our rights in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights that we have, are actually God-given natural rights. Without that paper, we still have that right. These are rights that, you know, the good Lord gave us to exist on this earth. And, you know, if somebody, you know, wants to sit and belittle me, and then if I say something back, oh, well, you shouldn't say that, forget that. I had some idiot, I've got a Confederate flag in my office. It's, you can see it when I do live videos. It's got the Don't Tread on Me snake on it. That flag, when it was taken into battle, it was not the battle flag. The red one was not. It was not the battle flag. People don't understand that. That was a banner of faith for the people of the South. That cross, that blue cross, stands for the cross of San Andrew. He was crucified on a cross that was shaped like that. San Andrew was the patron saint of the Scots, and a lot of the Southern people still are Scottish backgrounds. I am myself, okay? The 13 stars were for the 13 states that succeeded, and the red is for the blood of Christ. And the whole thing was that they had their patron saint and the blood of Christ protecting them. And that was their banner of faith. Every state had a different battle flag, and none of them was that flag. And I had some idiot get on and start arguing with me on the internet, you know, all this stupid crap. And I told him finally, I said, you know what? I said, that's my heritage. I find what you're saying is very rude. And I said, my rights don't end where your feelings start. So get over it, buddy. I said, because tell you what, the things you're saying right now, you would never say to me in my face and be standing when you were done. You know, I've got as much right to put that flag on my wall as they do to take a Black Lives flag and fly it. And when they take down the American flag and put a Black Lives flag up in front of it, like we've seen them doing, you know, in place of it in these protests, that myself, thank God I'm not there when it happens. That's all I can say. You know, because I swore an oath
to
this country
is,
into that flag.
We have to take the microphone away from them, get them off the podium. And the only way that I can see that we can do that easily and with no real problem is to disgrace them by exposing the hypocrisy and the people that are behind these groups that they've created a fake religion with, BLM and all the rest of them. Like that BLM leader that embezzled $200,000, bought a house and a car or something down in Atlanta, was it? That guy?
Right.
Well, the government, I'm sure, has evidence of many other of these groups that have taken all that. How many millions of dollars have been given to BLM and Antifa groups and everything else? Where's the money? Show the people. Start doing investigations and start doing arrests about showing where this money is actually going. How much of it is being used for the communities? How much of it is being used for black families and everything else? It's a fraud and embarrassed, disgrace all these people that are in the streets to realize I'm here waving this Black Lives Matter flag for some piece of shit that just bought a Ferrari in Los Angeles.
It's like this Breonna Taylor. It's like this Breonna Taylor in Louisville. She had been discharged from her job From what I understand, she was taking medication off the ambulance, drove medication off the ambulance, and she was told she, you know, either had to resign or get fired. That's the understanding I got. But anyway, she was on that warrant. She was on that warrant. They was looking for her ex-boyfriend that they thought she was harboring. And she also was taking care of his money, his drug money for him, okay? She was handling his drug money for him. She had been, they had her, you know, they had surveilled her and seen her making drug deals, you know, delivering drugs and picking up the money. So, I mean, this girl was no saint. She was no saint. But yet, oh, my God, you would think that, you know, she was Mother Teresa by the way they're acting. Well, the mother and their lawyers gets a $12 million settlement out of the city. They didn't even take it to court and fight it. They just give it to them. Now they're going to give the guy that shot the cop a settlement. You know, they announced themselves before they come in. The neighbors heard them announce themselves. They didn't have to with a no-knock, but they still did. And when they busted the door open, he shot an officer in the leg. And they're trying to say that this other officer did it, but they don't have anything ballistic-wise to prove it, okay? And for the shot to have hit him at the angle and trajectory it did, it would have had to pass through the whole house and come back around without hitting anything and hit him. I mean, it was an impossible
thing
to do.
Didn't he already admit that it was Brianna that shot that pulled that trigger on that shot? That shot at the cops first? I thought that came out in the news last week, that he tried blaming it on her.
I did not hear that part. But either way, you know, they wrecked the city for $12 million. The taxpayers has got to pay that. And now Brianna's mom's got a new Bentley sitting in her driveway.
Life is good, isn't it? America.
Yeah, she's real broke up about her daughter. She's got to go get a Bentley. You know, that replaces her daughter, I guess. You know, and this kind of crap is just getting me. Listen, Mike, we got to go. We're out of time. I got to close the show. It's been nice talking to you.
All right.
Don't be
nice
a stranger.
Talking
call
to you.
Back,
thanks a
okay?
All right.
All righty. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Tonight, we have covered a lot. Mike makes a good guest when he comes on. I always like to hear from him. He's from up in New York. We are a product of Citizens Against Terrorism. This radio show is. I'm the founder. I've been announcing that we would be able to collect very soon to help finance this organization. Our funds are getting low. And if you can find it in your heart to scroll down the page to the show description, we have a YouTube link in there, or it should be in there, that you can donate to our organization, and it would be greatly appreciated. Yes, it's in there. It would be greatly appreciated if you could go on there. It's not a YouTube link. I'm sorry. It's a PayPal link. We are a 501(c) nonprofit organization. We're here to protect our communities. We're here to back our police up. We're here to help in national disasters. We've helped bring people out of the fires in Oregon, floods in Florida, and helped to repair homes in Alabama so far. And then we're going to be setting up in due time. We'll be setting up community centers and help food, finances, and other things. So it's a great organization. We appreciate your support. Please go to that link and click on. Thank you. God bless you and have a wonderful day.